Good evening. It's good to see everyone out and those that are joining us on Facebook. We're going to be looking at Psalm 57 tonight, I guess in another edition of me trying to make the coronavirus make sense in light of Psalms. It seems like what I've been trying to do on Sunday nights, not necessarily intentionally, but I think the Psalms help us in times of waiting. And I've been thinking about our situation, and unfortunately, as numbers continue to climb and the ability of us freely meeting has been hindered somewhat with the risks out there, I was thinking how frustrating this is and how much that I wish that we could all be together in each other's presence. And I think about the patience that it takes to wait. And just that word wait, just that word and that idea of waiting and waiting for something to change, waiting for things to get better. And I feel like in my moments of self-pity, I feel like we've all been waiting a really long time. But then I think of history, and I think about how many times throughout history has God's people had to wait. I think of David hiding in the cave from Saul. I think of Elijah waiting for years during a period of drought when Ahab and Jezebel were ruling. I think about the people of Israel wandering the desert for 40 years. So this has been uncomfortable. This has been undesirable. And I am more than ready for it to be over. But in comparison to how long people have waited, I think of people like Anne Frank and thinking of her hiding in that attic for however long it was. I think about the fact that throughout history, people have waited and waited and waited, not just for weeks or months or even years, for things to get better and for things to change. And they've had their whole lives turned upside down and spend that time waiting for just something to change. We can probably, maybe for the first time in our lives, really appreciate or begin to appreciate what it's like for things to just drag on and for us to have to wait. We live in an incredibly fast-paced, instant gratification society. We don't want things to cook in the crock pot. We want things to cook in the instant pot or the microwave. We want it immediately, right? We want things right now. We don't want to have to wait. I loved when Amazon Prime became a thing, because I didn't have to wait for weeks anymore. I could order it and get that item within about 2 or 3 days. We love that concept. We love things happening at a lightning speed. We might say that we don't, but run into somebody that isn't moving as fast as you are, and then see how you feel about the laid-back people. We love getting things fast, and we love getting things what we want right now. We're not a patient people. And it's hard for us to wait. It's hard for us to trust in the Lord and be still and wait for things to get better, wait for things to change. And so with that in mind, let's look at Psalm 57. And I hope that you find it encouraging. David here, the heading tells us that this is when David was fleeing Saul and he was hiding in a cave, and David spent the first part of his kingship there while Saul was still alive in hiding. And he was running and having to wait until the day when David could finally fully become king as his own. The scripture says here, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Let's just read that again. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Isn't that where we find ourselves right now? We find ourselves taking refuge in the shadow of God's wings until the storm of destruction passes by. He says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. And I love here that the oft-repeated consequences and description of sin. Again, we've talked many, many times that sometimes it seems like the enemies of God, the enemies, our enemies, that they are great and powerful and that they will never come to an end. But this is the way that it always works. They dig a pit and they fall in it themselves. Sin is self-destructive. Not only is it egregious to God, it is self-destructive. That they dig a pit for others, they fall in themselves. I think of Wile E. Coyote and the fact that he sets a trap and it always backfires on him. That's the way that sin is. It's self-destructive. And the hope, that the prayer that God's people have is that God will cause everything to be worked out. God will set everything right, and the people that dig pits for others will fall into it themselves. That is our confident expectation, even though sometimes it doesn't look that way. When David was hiding in a cave, I'm sure there were days when it didn't feel like his pursuers were going to fall into a pit. But that's exactly what would happen. And this psalm, again, isn't just wrote by David for David. It's written for future generations of God's people to sing and to take refuge in the shadow of God's wings while the storm of destruction passes by. He continues and says, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." And I was just thinking that how that phrase reminds me of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's exactly what David is singing. Verse 11, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." This psalm, again, as so many are, is about the rule and reign of God. That's what glory is all about. It's the honor that a king deserves. Let your honor that you deserve be over all the earth. May you rule and reign everywhere. May your glory fill the earth. That is our hope. That is our confident expectation. That's our prayer and our aim. That's exactly what we are striving to see. That's exactly what Jesus has brought, is bringing, and will bring. It is the rule and reign of God, and that's what we celebrate in King Jesus, that God is ruling through King Jesus. And sometimes we find ourselves in very similar situations to what David found himself in. That we have to wait and take refuge in the shadow of God's wings while the storm of destruction passes by. Right now, we wait. We don't wait probably as long as some have waited. We don't wait for sure in the worst circumstances that man has ever seen. There have been far worse, and likely there are more that is on the way, but still we wait. And it's hard while we wait, but while we wait, we have these psalms that give voice to our hearts and teach our hearts how to pray and how to sing and how to teach that our hearts in whom we should trust, that we trust in the Lord, that our trust is not in man. Our trust is not in man's kingdoms. Our trust is in the Lord, and our prayer is that may God be exalted above the heavens, and that his glory be over all the earth. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. That's our hope. That's our confident expectation. We cannot lose. Even though we are waiting, even though there is a storm of destruction passing by, it is only temporary, and those who belong to the Lord cannot lose. We cannot lose. No matter what, God is faithful. God will keep his promises. He will be exalted above the heavens. His glory will fill all of the earth. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision, to come to the Lord, to be baptized and to be raised up, to walk in the newness of life. It may be that you have become a Christian and you've fallen away. You need to find your way back to this path. We urge you to make that known. We want to pray with you and for you and help you in any way we can. But we cannot if we don't know. So please make your needs known as together we stand and we sing.